using it to read. Amen. Acts 14 and 7 through 10 and then Hebrews 11 and 6. And the word of the Lord says, and there they preached the gospel. Somebody say the gospel. The good news. And there sat a man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. Imagine that. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. In chapter 11 of Hebrews, verse 6, and the word of the Lord says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Somebody say that he is. And that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And I want to preach to you this morning on this thought. Steadfast faith. Steadfast faith. Would you lift your voices to the Lord? Would you pray that we would be doers of the word this morning? Can we do that? Would you lift your hands, lift your voices? Talk to the Lord this morning. Let us be unified in the word. Come on, that's it. Let's lift our voices to Jesus. Father, we thank you today. We thank you for your mighty acts. We thank you, God, for all your excellent greatness. God, we praise you for it today. We worship you in spirit. We worship you in truth, God. Lord, you know our hearts. You know our minds. You know the level of our expectations. You know where we were, where we're going, God, where we're headed. But we pray today that you will let your word, God, pierce through and fall on good ground, God, of our soul, Lord. Help us to be hearers and doers this morning in Jesus' name. Somebody says, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. And there they preach the gospel. The Apostle Paul is actually ministering in what we would refer to today as Galatia. In fact, we spent 4 weeks talking about the area of Galatia, at least a portion of it. So Paul is actually in these cities and he's ministering the gospel. And Paul's conversion had taken place just a few chapters earlier in Acts chapter 9 when he was on the road to Damascus. And so the Apostle Paul here is preaching. He's with Barnabas, and they're ministering the word of the Lord, and they're speaking and preaching to the Gentiles, and they're having revival. Things are taking place, and they get to a place called Lystra, a city called Lystra. And remember, the word that they're preaching is the gospel. It's very clear in Acts 14 and 7 that there they preach the gospel. And here is an impotent man being a cripple from his mother's womb, the scripture said, who had never walked. So he didn't know what it was like to stand up on his feet and to begin to walk around and to run and to jump and to play while he had paralysis. And so he had never walked, and the same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed. And Paul says with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. And so we have precedence of this in the scripture with the Apostle Peter in Acts chapter 3, they're going to the hour of prayer. And so we have a precedence of this taking place with the Apostle Peter. But here we have the Apostle Paul and several chapters later, this taking place. And there was steadfast faith that we see represented here. Steadfast means to be fixed in a direction, steadily or directed. It's firm in purpose. It's fixed. It's unwavering. It's established. And in the scripture we read, it was Hebrews 11 and 6. It says, for without faith, it is impossible to please him, to please God. And what that means, it's not possible. It's unable to be. It can't happen. It doesn't exist. It's beyond the bounds of possibility. There is the incapable opportunity. It doesn't present itself if you don't have faith. There's a lot of people that we can please without having faith. You have people that'll do things and they please you, or they buy you things, or you go places, or things are done that you're a part of, or you observe and you're pleased by it. But the scripture says it's impossible to please God unless you have faith. In fact, the scripture tells us that he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So to have steadfast faith means that you have immovable faith. It means your faith is firm in God. It means that you're not unwavering. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have ups and downs in life, but it means that your faith is constant. It's consistent. That it, back to the word faithful. Your faith is faithful in God. It's believing that if God said it, then that's enough because God said it, because He is faithful. And so we need to ensure that we have the expectation that if God says He's going to do something, that it's good enough for us that He's going to do it. It's the atmosphere that we create for ourselves spiritually and mentally. The atmosphere is the feeling or demeanor, the dominant mood, the distinctive quality. Faith is perhaps one, if not the most important element necessary to grow in the Christian walk. George Mueller says the beginning of anxiety is the end of faith. And the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. Faith is the vitamin that makes all we take from the Bible digestible and makes us able to receive it and assimilate it. A quote from A.W. Tozer. The scripture says in Ephesians that we are saved by faith. In fact, we know that you must be born again of the water and spirit, but it takes faith. In fact, the scripture is very clear. It says it is the gift of God. We walk by faith according to 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Go ahead and tell your neighbor, I'm going to poke you in the eye because we walk by faith, not by sight. The Bible says we are of the household of faith according to Galatians 6:10. He says, and we have therefore opportunity. Let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. Anybody glad that you're part of the church this morning, part of the household of faith? Faith is the key that unlocks the supernatural realm in our natural existence. It's faith. It's a journey. Faith grows. It should be growing. In fact, you think about the frustration Moses may have had for 40 years. God provided him manna or bread every morning. It came from the ground, and an occasional quail or bird that they had once a week, and every day hundreds of thousands and or even up to maybe 2 million people would wonder and wander around and ask, is today the day, or how many people are left to get us to the promised land? What's taking place? But there had to be steadfast faith for these people. In fact, Moses demonstrated steadfast faith in Hebrews 11:23, when the scripture says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child. Then it goes on and says, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Then it goes on to say, verse 27, by faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Notice this. Through faith, he kept the Passover. And it goes on and says in verse 29, by faith, they passed through the Red Sea. It was faith. Moses didn't go around looking for every bush that he saw, wondering if that was the burning bush, but he had a burning bush moment with our Heavenly Father that kept him going in the midst of troubling times. He had situations that he didn't know what to do. He would talk to the Lord, but it was the faith that was in him that was steadfast. Faith is the opposite of fear.
Right.
Faith is a distressing emotion. Or excuse me, fear is a distressing emotion aroused by impending danger, evil, whether the threat is real or imagined. Fear is being afraid. Fear is anxiety. Fear is the anticipation or the possibility that something unpleasant will occur. Notice that fear is the anticipation that something unpleasant will occur. See, the scripture says that God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Steadfast faith is unwavering, is fixed, is immovable. It doesn't mean you're not going to have tough times or trials or situations beyond your control, but it means that my Redeemer lives, and I'm going to keep my eyes on the Lord. I'm going to focus on Him. Keeping your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Faith, steadfast faith is like the little kid who's sent to school in the morning with no lunch. You see, because mama forgot to buy bread or lunch meat. So she tells little boy, says, hey, you're going to go to school. I'm taking you to school. I'm dropping you off with your backpack and your homework. I'm going to give you a bottle of water. And mommy's going to make your lunch, and I'm going to bring it to the office before lunchtime. So at lunchtime, you go to the office, and your lunch will be there. I just didn't have, I forgot. Mommy forgot to buy lunch meat or bread to make the PB&J. So I'm going to have your lunch there for you. And so this kid walks into class, and all he has is the promise from his mom and the word from his mom and his bottle of water and his backpack, Brother Jody. And he gets to class, and the kids are saying, where's your lunch? You don't have a lunch today? No, I don't have my lunch yet. I don't have my lunch today. And snack time comes along, and he doesn't have a snack. And so they scrounge around together and give him a few Cheez-Its or Goldfish crackers, and somebody gives him a little bit of rich celery and peanut butter from their lunch, and he has his bottle of water, and he's all cute sitting at his desk eating his food. And they say, well, man, you don't have your lunch. You're not going to have your lunch for lunchtime, you know. And before you know it, Mr. Coronado, he starts feeling the hunger pains, you know. It's 2 hours away from lunchtime, Brother Charlie, but he's like us. He likes to eat every 2 hours. So he's wondering, where's the lunch? And the kid starts saying, well, maybe I could share with you my lunch. And so another kid says, I'll share with you my lunch. And before you know it, this kid starts listening to all this stuff. Well, I'm not going to have a lunch. Mom forgot to make me a lunch. And poor me. Woe is me. And so all throughout the day, the hunger pains begin to take over. And he starts, can't focus in class because all he can think about, I don't have a lunch. I need something to eat. And then at lunchtime, all the kids go off and they take their lunchbox, their lunch pail and their brown bag, and they go sit around to eat. And he goes to the bathroom to kind of act like he's just going to go to the restroom, but he's there filling up his water bottle, drinking it, and goes out to the playground and is playing. And somebody says, hey, we got some chips. You can have some of mine. You can have I don't like the crust on my bread. You can have the crust from my bread. I take it off and you can eat it. And before you know it, he's eating the crumbs and the crust from somebody else's lunch. And all along, the lunch that his mama prepared is sitting in the school office waiting for him to go get it, just like she said he would do. Can I come to tell you, some of us are living our lives the same way. God says he's going to do something for us. You got a prophetic word. The Bible says something's going to happen. The pastor preaches something's going to happen, and you're walking around listening to everyone else who doesn't even have a glass of water. And they're looking to say, well, your glass is empty. How's God going to do something for you? You don't even have the resources for God to do something for you. And before you know it, that's all you're thinking about. That's all you're dwelling about. And before you know it, you have no faith. The Bible says you don't have to have faith like Pastor Panero or Brother Bonham or Brother DeRozzi. It just says have faith. That means whatever measure of faith you have, just hold on to it. Even if it's a little itty bitty piece of faith as the size of a mustard seed, you gotta hold on to it because it's your faith. It's what God's promised you. It's what God's gonna do for you. And you gotta be immovable and say, nah, I got faith in God. I don't have faith in man. I don't have faith in religion. I don't have faith in talent, but I got faith in God and His Word. And more than that, I have a relationship with God, and my faith is something I'm gonna hold on to because it's steadfast. Things may come and go. People may come and go. Pastors may come and go. But my Lord is the same yesterday and today and forever. And if God be for me, who can be against me? I have a faith in a holy God this morning. Steadfast faith. Steadfast faith. You see, when we see the realities of the circumstances of our life, the failing relationships or marriage, the struggle with holiness, the weariness of life, the strains and the battle of addiction and financial troubles. We walk around and want and perceive that this is just the way it is. And the preacher's preaching. The word of God is going forth. And we sit in awe of what God can do, what He's willing to do. But we don't respond to the word of God, even though we know we ought to. Because we have doubts. We have fears. We have reservation. Or we have no faith. You see, little faith is better than no faith. Well, come on, somebody. Little faith is better than no faith. See, there was places Jesus went and He couldn't do miracles like they could have been done because there was no faith. In fact, there's places in the scripture where Jesus would go to heal somebody or pray for somebody, and He would kick folks out of the room because He wanted to make sure that there was faith in that room.
Yeah.
And I tell you, there's some situations and people and circumstances and places, people and things. Heard that before, right? Places, people and things. They'll starve your faith out. Start putting your trust. Start trying to live your life, what you see posted on social media. That person saved that photo and they photoshopped it from Google and they took, it wasn't even their lunch, and they took somebody, picture of somebody else's lunch and put it on there and say, oh man, how they eat like that every day? They don't even work. And over here, you're paying your tithes, giving in the offering, donating your time here, there, and everywhere, and you're still eating cup of noodle two days a week. See, the devil's real good at painting.
Yeah.
Pretty picture. Gives you the grass is greener on the other side syndrome. But steadfast faith says, you know, the grass may be greener on the other side. But the Lord has given me some grass over here. And I'm going to grow where I'm planted. And I'm going to water it and I'm going to fertilize it. And the Lord can bless me right where I'm at. Scripture says in Ecclesiastes 3:3-1, to everything there is a season, but it's not just the season, it's the purpose, right? To everything there is a season and a purpose. And we all have a purpose to get to heaven. And anything the devil can do to distract you from your purpose, he's going to do that. So that's why we got to have steadfast faith and say, you know what? Nah, I'm not distracted from my purpose. I'm going to keep on focusing on the Lord. Sure, when I leave church on Sunday morning, my faith level is at 100%. And by Tuesday afternoon, it's down to 10%. But I'm not quitting. I'm not giving up. I'm going to church on Wednesday morning or Wednesday evening to Bible study to get a fill up to make sure I get back to 100%. But can I tell you, you don't have to wait for Sunday and Wednesday. You can talk to the Lord every day, every morning, and stay strong and faithful and filled with the Holy Ghost. Steadfast faith is a faith that says every promise in the Word of God is mine. Every line, every chapter, every verse. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, for some of the promises of God, for all the promises of God are in Him, are yes and in Him, amen. That means all the promises of God are yes and so be it. Unto the glory of God by us. Somebody say that's me. See, we need to have the type of steadfast faith that if God's going to do something for somebody, you ought to be the first one in line to stand up and say, I'm that somebody. It's me that the word of the Lord's talking about. In fact, Romans 12:3 tells us, for I say, though the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt every man the measure of faith. So each of us have a measure of faith. We need to exercise that faith. We need to let that faith grow and mature. What we do with it is up to us. Come on, somebody, talk to me this morning. What we do with the measure of faith that God has given us, entrusted us with, is up to us. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Is anybody want to please the Lord here this morning? Then we got to have faith. You got to have faith in God and in His Word, that what His Word says, that He's able to do. The Scripture says, he that has begun a good work in you is able to accomplish it. There's a lot of things we start as people and we don't finish it. We're procrastinators. We run out of money. We run out of resources, or we just don't want to do it. But the scripture says, he that has begun a good work in you is able to complete it. Steadfast faith. We can't compare ourselves and our faith with that of a brother or a sister. Comparing ourselves, it only leads to division and discontentment. God has entrusted me with the level and the measure of faith, and he has entrusted you with the level and the measure of faith. Notice this. Paul preached the word. Back to our scripture text, Acts chapter 14. He preached the word. That says, Acts 14 and 7, they preached the gospel. They preached the good news, is what the scripture says. The word of God is good news. I know that there's a lot of news, which is news, but it's not good. And what Paul was preaching was something good. Can I tell you that the word of God is good news? Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes it don't feel good. It don't taste good. But guess what? It's still the word of God. It's there to challenge us. It's there to convict us. It's there to edify us. It's there to nurture us. It's there to help us. Think about it. Anybody in here like cake or brownies? Just a few of you. Oh, I was going to buy everybody. No, I wasn't. But anyways, I don't think we ever go to the grocery store and say, well, I just feel like eating some baking soda today, you know? Raw eggs and baking soda for breakfast. I want a teaspoon of cinnamon and a tablespoon of vanilla. No. But Mr. Coronado, you mix all that stuff together. And it all has a purpose. And you cook it together and you mix it together. You put it at the right temperature and you put it in the oven, and then it comes out and all you need is some frosting and a glass of milk because you have a cake. Can I tell you, the word of God has a purpose for everybody's life. That's why you can read a scripture and say, man, I've never seen that before, but I've been reading this Bible for 25 years and I've read that scripture maybe 1,000 times, but it's because of the season of life that you're in that it has a different meaning or a different impact on your life. It's because the word of God is powerful. The word of God is true, and the word of God stands on its own. Scripture says all scripture is inspired by God. Yeah. Notice this certain man of Lystra didn't have a name, but it says he was impotent in his feet. In Acts 14 and 8, being crippled from his mother's womb, who had never walked. His entire life, he never knew what it was like to stand. He was each day and each event was defined by his circumstance, which was crippling. It's all he was, and it's all he ever knew. Maybe some of you, all you've known in your in your life is crippling circumstances. Second place is your number. You're the first loser. But this man's fate changed as he sat and heard the man of God preach the gospel. It's very simplistic. You see, there's something about the anointed word of God. The prophet says in Jeremiah 20 and 9, but his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. Come to tell us this morning, what we need is a good old-fashioned revival of the word of God.
Yeah. Amen.
Put the phone down.
Yeah.
Put the magazine down.
Yeah.
Turn the TV off.
Yeah.
Change the station on the radio and read your Bible.
Amen.
It'll speak to you.
Yes, it will.
You know, every day there's a plan and a purpose for your day. You want to know what it is? Talk to the Lord. He'll tell you. He'll lead and guide you.
Yeah.
Read the word of the Lord. Pray. Talk to him. We're gasping for air. Man, I just need a word from God. I can't wait to get to church Sunday morning. I need a word from God. Man, you got the same Bible I have, or you should. Read it. You'll be amazed what happens. You come to church and not need a word from God, but you'll be the word.
Yeah.
You'll be the church.
Yeah.
You'll be the smile. You'll be the offering giver. You'll be the worshiper. You'll be coming and say, you know what? I'm gonna encourage somebody on my way. I noticed brother, sister, so-and-so, or this family hasn't been there. I'm gonna call them. Maybe they didn't have the gas money. Maybe they overslept. Maybe they feel disconnected from the church. Some of you feel disconnected from God because you're not reading the Word. You're not praying. You gotta have steadfast faith that if we truly believe that there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father of all, in us and through us all. If we believe that you must be born again of the water and of the Spirit, and we believe that God created everything, why wouldn't we not want to read the Word of God?
Amen.
A revival of the Word. Notice this. When the Word of God is preached, taught, read, heard, we need to respond to it. No matter what it sounds like, who we are, how we're feeling, who's delivering the Word of God, or what others may or may not be doing. It's the steadfast faith that says, you know what, it's the Word of God. It's anointed, and it's for me. We don't know what this man was doing when Paul was preaching. The Scripture says that he sat there listening to Paul, hearing what Paul was saying. It's exactly what was taking place. Who steadfastly beholding him. He heard Paul speak. He heard Paul talking. We don't know if somebody said you need to go hear this man preach or speak, and maybe afterwards he'll pray for you. But Karen, we don't know if he said amen, or if he was lifting his hands, or if he was nodding his head, or if he clapped, or if he was smiling, or what took place. But we know that something gripped his heart, and there was a connection between the gospel and the Word of God, the man of God, and the man there in a need, in a situation that he had that had never taken place in his life. This man had never walked. You can imagine where this man may have had the experience and say, I want to walk again. But this man had never walked. He didn't know what it was like to walk. Can I tell you, words are very important.
Right.
I'll tell you, Proverbs 18 and 20, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Notice, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Whatever we speak has come from inside. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So when somebody says, you're a has-been, it's not going to work out, that's in their heart. They said, oh, I didn't mean to say that. Oh, you meant to say it, because you can't take that back. Can I tell you, if you're going to get a word from anybody, it might as well be from the Word of God. If you're going to have anything you're going to take to the bank or believe or put your trust in, it ought to be from the Word of God. I pray we start speaking words of faith, words of truth. Whatever the enemy, whatever the haters or the naysayers or the mother-in-law, whatever they say, just say the opposite. Say, nah, I don't believe that. I shall live and not die. I'm going to be blessed. My company's not going bankrupt. In fact, we're about to double. The Lord is about to bless my business. My house is not falling apart. Everything's just falling into place. I'm blessed and highly favored. I'm not the tail. I'm the head. God did not give me crumbs. He's given me a abundance. That's the God that I serve. My faith didn't remove the pain, but it got me through the pain. Trusting God didn't diminish or vanquish the anguish, but it enabled me to endure it. Because I got steadfast faith. A faith that won't quit. Because it's impossible to please God unless you have faith. Some of us aren't pleasing God because we don't have any faith. No, I fed, right? The amount is not really the factor. Sister Kendrick, it's not the amount of faith that we have. It's the fact that we have faith. Acts 14 and 9 says, the same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he hath faith to be healed. Does anybody have faith this morning? I hope your faith level is rising the longer and longer I preach. I'm not going to preach as long as some did last week, but we're going to ensure that our faith is higher and higher. That our faith is not in the boss. It's not in money. Don't put your faith in me. Put your faith in God. 1 Corinthians 2 and 5 says, though your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. If you're going to have faith in anybody, it ought to be in God. Acts 14 and 9 says he had faith to be healed and said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped. He basically said, hey, stand up. Get up. The man stood up. He leaped. And he was healed. It was because of the spoken word. Almost done. Notice this. This impotent, crippled man was healed because of the spoken word and his response to the word.
Amen.
I know it sounds crazy, but that's how simple it is. God says he's going to do something. You respond, and he does it.
Yeah, right.
Easy. 1 + 1 = 2. All day long. God says, we respond in faith, and he does it.
Yeah.
In his time.
Yeah.
A lot of times things don't happen because either we don't have faith, or it's not God's will, or it's not the right time. But if God, if there's something in the word of God he says he's going to do, or there's a prophetic word that comes forth, you ought to be jumping over and crowding and saying, I need to get there. Act like they're giving away $1 million and the first five people that get to the front get it. You ought to be up there tripping people and say, I'm getting up there. It's for me. It's mine. It's mine. Every church service we come in, you ought to be coming in and say, I got faith today. Because today could be the day my baby gets the Holy Ghost. Today could be the day my child gets healed. Today could be the day that I get the victory over the addiction. Today could be the day that everything changes because I got faith. I remember probably 15 years ago, I had gotten Bell palsy, and my father had Bell palsy. He still has the effects of it. He's got a crooked face. He looks like that's one of those mafia faces. You know, his face is crooked, and he's got the effects of that. He's had it for probably 25 years. And so about 15 years ago, there's just a lot of things that ended up causing me to have Bell palsy, and I ended up with Bell palsy. And I remember I was very sick, and this happened on a Saturday, on a Friday. And Saturday I went to the doctor, and they said, yes, you got Bell palsy. It is what it is. And so I'm thinking, man, this is a long time ago. And I'm thinking, I'm going to walk around with the crooked face. You know, this is, you know, my wife's like, hey, what's wrong with your face? You know, it's crooked. And I didn't want to live like that. And Saturday, the doctor said, it's just, you know, sometimes it goes away, sometimes it doesn't, you know, and I'm thinking, wow, it's in hereditary, you know, I'm going to have a crooked face like my father. And on Sunday, I didn't go to church Sunday morning. It was pretty ill. Sunday night, I go to church. Monday, I was leaving early, a 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock flight to Dallas from Fresno to Dallas. They had a one way flight, and I was going to be in Dallas, Texas for a couple days for work. And Sunday night, I go to church, and my pastor prayed for me. I couldn't close my eye. One of my eyes just stood open the whole time, you know. It was kind of creepy, and my face was crooked. My pastor prayed for me and laid hands on me. Church was over, went home, still crooked face. Wake up the next morning, get on the airplane, Max, still had the crooked face, still had Bell palsy, and I'm like, no bueno. Man. So I'm sitting on the plane, fall asleep, I get to the airport and it's raining. This California boy didn't have a jacket, you know, it's Dallas, you know, things happen, you know, weather's crazy. And so I go down to eat, and I'm eating in the hotel restaurant with a friend of mine, a colleague. His name was Dan Horowitz. He's Jewish. It was a colleague of mine, and he was the real deal. He had served, he's a citizen of Israel, and he had served in the Israeli army. So he was the real deal. And we would talk a lot about scripture and stuff because he was Jewish. I was a Christian. So there was a lot of common interest there. And we're sitting there and we're talking, and he says, oh, you have Bell palsy. I'm like, oh, yeah. He's all, I had it, man. That stinks. So we're talking, and I said, you know, Dan, but they prayed for me yesterday at church, and I believe God's going to heal me. He said, yeah, doesn't your dad have... So we're talking, and we're eating, and we finish dinner, and I walk up for the skate. I get to the elevator, and James is, I remember very vividly, I'm just kind of like feeling defeated. Just, this is not... I'm in my 20s. this is not good. Get up in the elevator, get out on my floor. I'm walking down the hallway. I'm like, man, Lord, this stinks. I don't want to live like this. I believe you're going to heal me. That's all I said. Just one of those casual things, walking from the elevator to my room. I get to my room. I lay down. I go to sleep. I wake up the next morning, and I'm healed in Jesus' name. No Bell palsy. Just like that. And I truly, and the next morning, everybody's just like, wow. And Dan's like, you know, like, whoa, man, that's pretty cool. I said, they told you, they prayed for me. And I say all that to tell you, I had Sister Violet, I had a choice as we stand. I had a choice. I could have said, well, my dad's lived with it and he's got it. A lot of people have it and it's not uncommon. I can adapt. Or I could believe that the word went out. Healing was declared over my body. And I received it in Jesus' name in that moment. And even though my faith was getting lower and lower and lower, the more we talked about it, I found enough steadfastness in faith on a quick walk from the elevator to my hotel room just to have a casual conversation with the Lord. It wasn't profound, but it was genuinely heartfelt to say, Lord, I don't want to live like this. You can heal me.
Yeah.
And I put it in God's hands, and I went to sleep, and the Lord healed me.
Amen.
Can I tell you, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord, according to Romans 10 and 17. Notice this. We hear a lot of stuff. We digest a lot of stuff in our minds. But I'm going to share a word from God for you this morning. Isaiah 55 and 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it.
Yeah.
The man sat there and heard the word of God. The man of God spoke. The man responded, and he was healed.
Yeah.
How many believe this morning?
Yeah.
That what I preach is the word of God.
Amen.
Believe that pastor's anointed, and more so than that, that the word of God is anointed.
Amen.
And we've all come in here this morning. We got physical things, emotional things, financial things, all kinds of stuff that we've carried in here. Okay? But there's going to be three classes of us. Those that respond.
Yeah.
That is the spectate. And those that say, well, maybe next time.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. What if tomorrow never came? I got an awesome message for tonight. But we may never get to that tonight. I may never preach that. This could be it.
Yeah.
You could choke over your lunch tonight. This morning. Need to respond to the word of God. What do you say, Pastor? I got to run to the altar? No. I gave you proof. It was just a casual conversation. From the elevator to a hotel room is not a long distance. Some of you travel and you stay. That's at the most two or three minutes. Quick conversation. But right now, the Holy Ghost is moving.
Yeah.
Some of us are wondering what's going to happen next. Hey, what ought to happen next? You say, Lord, it's me. He's been preaching to me. He's been preaching about me. He's been telling me. I speak the word of faith right now. Come on, whatever it is. You don't even need pastor or the ministry team to lay hands on you. But all you needed to say, God, I respond in faith. I respond in faith right now. As the Holy Ghost begins to move and begins to find, as water seeks its own level, let the Holy Ghost begin to seek and say, God, it's me. It's me. It's my finances. It's my healing. It's my struggle. It's my depression. It's my anxiety. It's my injury. It's my marriage he's talking about. It's my anxiety. It's my fear that he's talking about. And the word of God goes out and you respond. Who's it going to be? Who's it going to be that's going to be blessed? He said, get up. Stand up. Some of us need to get up. We need to come down to the altar And we need to respond in faith this morning. He responded and something happened. The miraculous took place. There was a change. Come on. Well, I have the doctor's report that says this, Pastor. I got what the banker says, the CPA says, my family history, the divorce attorney, I don't care. This had never taken place in this man's life. And the word of God went forth. And there was faith. And faith and the word got together. Because faith without works is dead. You got to respond. Oh, struck wonder.
To him who sits on heaven's mercy seat.
Don't be afraid. Respond in faith. Respond in faith.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty.
And it happens.
Who was and is.
I respond.
To come.
Don't be afraid. Fear is the opposite of faith.
With all creation.
If you're feeling fearful, that's not faith.
To the King of Kings.
You it may be a scary situation.
And I will.
But it's impossible to please God without faith.
Holy, holy,
I believe it. I believe
it. Lord God Almighty.
Let your will be done. Let your will be done. It's going to change. It's going to change. Because I'm going to change.
With all creation, hey.